What is going on, everybody? We are finally back. This is NBA Therapy, episode 17. It's been too long. So much has been going on in the NBA. We can't wait to talk about it. This episode will probably be a little longer than usual. My name is Nate Dizer. I'm joined by my co-host,
Stephen Pack.
And let's just get right into it. So it's actually been a week since we last met. So much has gone on in the NBA. Last time we recorded was on Sunday, but Sunday games did not happen yet. So there were still first round series going on that are over now. So we can just touch briefly on those if you want.
Yeah,
and
we should.
We'll get right into it. So Clippers Mavericks, we talked about this last time. Game five just ended and the Clippers blew out Dallas and they were already up 3-2. It seemed like the series was over. And then, I mean, that's pretty much what happened in game six. They closed it out. Kawhi was phenomenal. Like he has been this whole playoffs. Dallas was, I mean, I don't even want to say they played bad, just the Clippers are better. Luka had an amazing game, 38-9-9, 50%. But it's hard to beat this Clipper. It's hard to beat this Clippers team that most people are picking to win the title when your second best player is hurt. And I mean, after Porzingis, who do you say their best player is? I'd say it just depends from game to game.
Yeah, I think it's
sometimes
probably
it's sometimes it's Hardaway, sometimes it's Curry, sometimes it's even Trey Burke, sometimes it's Finney Smith.
The fact that Luka Doncic took that team with those guys as his second best player with Porzingis out, just, you know what, we'll get into Giannis later, but Luka versus Giannis is a very interesting discussion right now.
It is very interesting. And I think we both know who has the edge right now. As crazy as that would sound a year ago.
Mm-hmm.
It's not recency bias. It really isn't. This Luka hype that has been going on, it's totally fair. You know what I mean? This doesn't happen. Like, 21-year-olds aren't supposed to do this against what? Where are the Clippers ranked defensively this year? One, two, or three? I want to say one. Maybe two after Milwaukee.
Yeah, probably around there.
Lakers are probably up there. Those three. But this is one of the best defenses. They have all the wings to throw at Luka, and none of it mattered. I was actually shocked on some of those plays where Luka wouldn't even get a screen, but he would just lose Kawhi. And the fact that he can get past Kawhi already so easily is astonishing. He can score on anyone, honestly. Would you say he's the best offensive player in the game right now?
Are we putting Kevin Durant and Steph Curry in that conversation?
Yeah. No. Actually, no. Right now.
Right now, is he the best offensive player in the game? No. I think he's second behind LeBron James.
Yeah, probably LeBron. It's about offense. Yeah. I don't know. It's just he's been great. And also, a little subplot of this series, PG was finally starting to get his footing back, and it seems to feel like this team has sort of an identity, and that's kind of scary to watch. Because that was the big knock on the Clippers, is that they didn't play with each other, and you know, it was a new thing. They weren't used to each other. Bill Simmons said in his podcast that they quote unquote were like a bunch of hired guns, and that's honestly a perfect way to put it. They don't seem like a team. Dallas seemed like way more of a team. But
yeah. But then I also think that comes with, like, it's also due to the fact that they don't have a primary playmaker, which is going to hurt them down the line. And I think that's one of the biggest problems.
Yeah, and their best playmaker, who is Lou Williams, and I'm almost positive he averaged the most assists in the series, can't sit on the floor in crunch time against the Lakers, or maybe Denver, he could probably sit on the floor in crunch time. But Lakers, he can't sit on the floor in crunch time. Because they prove it in every game where they just attack his matchup.
For sure.
That's all I have about this series. Luka, you're amazing. We love you, and I can't wait till next year when your team's healthy and you're back in the playoffs. Hopefully, it's
next year's gonna be great in the NBA season, regardless of what happens right now.
Yeah, for sure.
Like, we're getting back Steph and Kevin Durant, and we're probably gonna be bumping down like either AD, Lillard, or Jokic out of our top 10.
Yeah,
like that's how top heavy.
Oh,
it is
and right. Ben Simmons will probably get out of your top 10.
Yeah.
He'll probably bump out. Okay, so Nuggets Jazz.
Oh, what a
game so, six.
Game six, okay.
That was just, oh my gosh, it was that was one of the craziest games. This series might probably has been my favorite, just because the fact that Murray has been able to elevate his play like this is bonkers, and Mitchell is still lighting it up. That fourth quarter was insane. They combined for like 100 points in this game. It felt like Murray and Mitchell. I want to say they combined for like 90. And what's crazy to me is that Jokic was playing well, but and he, Jokic has been great. This was great that series, but he was Robin. Murray was Batman in that series.
Like, I just think this is the greatest duel I've ever seen between two players.
I know they broke the record for most points scored between two opposing players in the series. And you have to think, like, wow, LeBron and Steph didn't do that in, like, 2016 or something. No, these two, Mitchell and Murray.
The thing is about this one is their points were all coming in crunch time. Like, that's what made this, like, all so special.
Yeah.
Because it was just crunch time. You go, I go.
Mitchell would score, like, 10 in the first half. Take like six shots, and I'd be like, I'm not worried. He'll get 50 this game, or he'll get his 30, and then he just gets 30 like that. It's like clockwork. But Jokic.
Where would you rank Jamal Murray in today's NBA?
It's tough, but to be honest with you, when we do our All NBA teams, he'll be an honorable mention at least.
Yeah, I mean, at least.
I always give honorable mentions for people who I deserve to be talked about. I normally give like five because this league's so stacked that I normally rank like 20 players. It's so tough. I mean, I want to put Mitchell. I mean, Mitchell's definitely gonna be on the team. He'll probably be like second team, honestly. We'll get to Mitchell in a second, but Murray. I mean, I was really disappointed with him during the regular season. He was really inconsistent. His stats were like the same. I thought Will Barton was better than him on a lot of games. But
he's also coming right off an injury.
Yeah.
Like,
that's true.
Like, I didn't even know if he was going to play in the bubble. Like,
yeah.
For him to come out and drop 50 a night, wow.
A great point I heard is that there's no real fans behind the basket, so shooting is so much easier. I feel like that's definitely true with these playoff games, this high scoring. How do you feel about the high scoring in the bubble, in the playoffs?
You know, I think it like kind of messes with like the historical value of numbers.
Yeah, I don't love it. Playoff history. I don't love it, but it's like basketball is basketball.
But it sure is exciting. But I think at the end of the day, that is why we look at who wins in basketball and not the numbers.
Sure. And crazy enough, the Nuggets were able to even up this series after being down 3-1. So they tied it up 3-3. It went to Game 7, and this is where it felt like a real life Game 7. I honestly think I might have enjoyed watching this over Game 6 just because of how hard fought everything is. No one was efficient except for the bigs. It felt like a game in like 2010 where it's just a rock fight and no one can score.
I love this kind of game because it was just defensive, and maybe the casual fan didn't really like it because just not the basket was like the ball wasn't going into the basket as much.
It was such an amazing game,
but like
so hard fought. Both teams deserve to win.
It's what makes Game 7 so special. Like, when you watch, like, 2016, Game 7 of the finals.
For sure.
It's just something just...
The Jazz were, like, destroying the Nuggets and putting up, like, 130 in these first games. They didn't even crack 80 in this Game 7. Final score was 80-78, Nuggets. Murray was inefficient. Mitchell was a little inefficient, but I still thought he played really well for the stakes. But Jokic was the big winner of the game. Hit the game winner. Get that game-winning floater he always does in the like that kind of fadeaway hook shot floater type thing with about 30 seconds left. Jazz get the ball back. Mitchell actually turns it over on a steal. I want to say Gary Harris poked it free. The Nuggets get it in transition. Murray has the ball. They could just get fouled, the two free throws, put the game up 4 because they're up by 2 at that point, and just end the game. They don't. They go for the fast break layup. And was it Torrey Craig?
Yeah.
And Torrey Craig actually misses the layup, Gobert gets it back, throws it ahead, and Conley gets an open look at three. And the ball goes halfway down and runs out. And the way Mitchell reacted and just crumbled to the ground, where, like, just completely just lost his legs, no energy, knowing it's over, was just, oh my God.
Okay, so two thoughts. Number one, random thought I had this morning, we're going to miss the bubble. Like, we're going to miss it. Like, we're going to be like, what a time. Second.
Yeah, I agree with that. That was amazing.
You know when you're watching a shot go up, and even if it's on TV, you can tell whether it looks good or not?
Yeah.
I really thought that Conley shot was going in. And for a split second, I thought it was good too. For sure.
I'm totally with you. I was like, oh my God. Like, as the ball going in, as he shoots it, you can't really register it. But as soon as he left his hands, I'm like, they're actually going to win. And the way Mitchell crumpled to the ground, I know he lost. I know I say this all the time, but that's exactly what you want in your number one guy. You can tell this is life or death for him. You can tell how much he cares.
I know.
The way he reacted was like he just got hit by a car. Like, he just crumbled and just disbelief and, oh my gosh, it's just so emotional. It just felt something like, it's just something special happening. I actually saw a picture. I saw a picture on Instagram where it compared Kawhi's buzzer beater to that Conley one. And the way Kawhi's looked on the rim versus Conley, you'd think the Conley one was going in. Like, Conley's shot was closer to going in, but Kawhi's just got the bounce.
Yeah, for Kawhi's shot, it was just like, I wasn't even thinking anything. I was just watching and reacting.
It happened so fast. It was like...
Same with the Conley shot, too. But I really thought the Conley shot, like... Because I don't think we've ever had a Game 7, like you're down and you've got to make the game winner to win the game. I don't think we've ever had that. And I thought that was about to be it right there. And that would have been something.
Kawhi's was the first Game 7 walk-off buzzer beater, but it was tied. It would have went to overtime.
Exactly.
They were down two, and he shot the three. That's like what you dream about. That's like what kids dream
about.
That
is literally what you dream about.
Down two, shoot the three, end of series. But, oh, man, the fairy tale ending couldn't happen.
And on, no, like, a fast break, too.
Everyone. Also, we mentioned this earlier in 2016. First time a team came back from 3-1 since 2016 in the finals.
Oh, that's right.
Made some history. I want to say it's the 10th time in history someone's come back 3-1. It doesn't happen a lot. I think 10th time. No one's come back 3-0, but down 3-1, I think it was 10th time.
I think we're going to have to give Jamal Murray a lot of credit at the end of the year.
Yeah, for sure. No, he'll be an honorable mention. It's just his regular season was so bad. It depends how he does in this Clippers series. We already saw game one. We'll see how he does later, but it all depends.
Yeah. So do you want to cover that series, or what series are we on to now?
Let's go Rockets Thunder. That's the last first round series that we have to go through.
Okay.
As you know, so... I picked Houston. You picked OKC. And to be honest with you, Houston just, it seemed like they wanted to lose that game six. We saw game six where the Rockets were up 3-2. It was the perfect game to close. Harden actually had a great night. And then we got to the fourth quarter. Houston was in control. I felt good about them. But then something weird happened. Then James Harden, for some reason, barely touched the ball for the last 4 or 3 minutes of the game. And someone else on Houston took the reins of the offense. Someone Steven knows very well. He's been very passionate with his opinion about this guy. And his name's Russell Westbrook.
Russell Westbrook is the most overrated player in NBA history.
Oh my God. Just go. Spitfire.
Everyone watched a game, and for him to just, like, miss a layup, airball the ball, like, two turnovers, like, and for him to keep going, like, that drive in him, like, yeah, there's a drive in you, and that drive is to completely have no memory of what you did on the past possession. Like, for you to, like, and James Harden might be too passive to tell Westbrook, like, hey, like, I've got to get the ball in this situation. But Russell Westbrook should never have the ball in that situation. And I don't know how much he can really offer for you on the offensive end in crunch time, but he thinks he can offer so much, as he always does, which is why Russell Westbrook will lose you games more than any other star. And that's why he's overrated. And we saw it here in Game 6. And they're lucky they won the series. And so is James Harden. But I think my ranking of Russell Westbrook is completely justified. I might have overrated him in my rankings.
Oh!
I don't know if there are the other guys in the top 25 make those kind of plays. I think if James Harden has... Let me think. Well, I put Donovan Mitchell right over him.
Oh, that's definitely fair.
Oh, yeah.
I messed up on that, America. I should have put Donovan Mitchell over Russell Westbrook.
I think you would drop Westbrook now, too, right?
Westbrook just had such a phenomenal regular season. Like, he was better than Harden for some of it. And it really seemed like they unlocked him with the small ball. But he resorted back to his ways in the playoff like clockwork. And it bummed me out.
Here's the thing. If Westbrook is off that team, I don't know if they have a better or worse record. Like, how much is Russell Westbrook's impact to that team? I really can't tell.
They went 2-for-2 in the series with him. They went 2-1 without him, correct?
Yes.
Pretty much the same thing. And in Game 5, he didn't even play that much.
When I tell you that the Warriors went 2-for-2 with Kevin Durant and then 2-0 without him in the Houston series last year, it's like there's just certain things you can see like on the game. And I'm not even sure Houston should have pulled this out had Rocco and Tucker and all these guys stepped up. And, you know, Lugansdor did show up too. But I think at the end of the day, if Houston catches a bad break here, like, I'm not sure where Harden and Westbrook, where would we be talking about them right
now? It's really interesting to see how Houston plays out in the coming days and the coming years, because you got to think with this Westbrook contract, especially with what's going on. I mean, it's going to be extremely hard to move that. They're not moving off James Harden. And then they got a bunch of guys who really have stepped up and played well, but they're really talented. They have veterans. They check all the boxes, but the box where you have to have teammates that play well together. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think if you just plug in 2018 Chris Paul on this team, I think that the series is over in like 5.
I think so too. I think Westbrook.
And what's crazy is that I think their supporting cast now, you can make an argument, is better than in 2018.
For Houston?
Yeah. Really, let's just go through a few players. So, 2018, you have Ariza and Covington's matchup. I say that's a wash. They both were great for that team. They both are great three-point shooters and defenders. They can guard bigs and guards, right? Honestly, I might give Covington the edge because Covington's been great. And without him, they don't win the series. Tucker is, that's kind of a wash. You know, same guy, really. Then you have, I mean, this is not including Chris Paul and the Russell Westbrook and James Harden, obviously. Then you have Ryan Anderson versus House. I'd go House. You have Austin Rivers, kind of the same. You have Eric Gordon, who I guess you can make the argument is a little worse, but I'd still say it's kind of a wash because they're pretty similar players. And I actually think Gordon has the same moves he did then. He can still get to the rack and shoot threes. I don't know. I feel like this team is actually better than 2018 besides their top two guys.
I think this team showed up a lot more than that team. Like, for Gordon to show up in Game 7, Rocco, Jeff Green.
Tucker's been great. So, oh, I didn't even talk about Jeff Green, yeah.
Also, I want to say this. Plus minus is, like, it's very indicative. Like, it doesn't really matter when you're comparing two guys on different teams. But if you're comparing two guys on the same team, I think you can definitely make something out of it. In Game 6, Westbrook was a -9, and Harden was a +6. in game seven, Westbrook,
they win this game if Harden just gets the ball.
Exactly. And in game seven, Westbrook was a minus three and Harden was a plus nine. Like, there's something there when Westbrook isn't on the floor and Harden is.
And Harden's stats weren't even amazing. You know what I mean?
Let's be real. Who can Westbrook? Who has Westbrook proven that he can play with?
I guess if you want to, I mean, they made a finals with KD.
But the talent, like, was so overwhelming with KD. And I also think that Westbrook now couldn't play with KD now.
That's true, but when they played San Antonio in the Western Conference Finals in 2012, I thought San Antonio was the favorite, and OKC was just better.
I also think, like, mentally, like, egotistically, like, Westbrook was a completely different player.
No, you're right. You're right. I can't even lie. You're right.
Harden also disappeared in another Game 7.
Yeah, well, let's just get into Game 7 right now. Oh, by the way, in Game 6... Big reason also why they won it is because Chris Paul decided to be the best player on the floor in that fourth quarter.
Oh, yeah. And
dropped 15 in that fourth quarter. Ended with 28. It's just... It sucks to see Chris Paul out of the playoffs again. It really does. That really bummed me out.
It did bum me out, but at the same time, I do want to see LeBron beat Harden and Westbrook.
Imagine if someone told you 2 years ago that in the Western playoffs in the second round, imagine someone told you this 2 years ago, LeBron James, Anthony Davis, Russell Westbrook, and James Harden would all play in the same series. I'd be like, what happened? Think about it.
Whoever loses a series is going to receive major scrutiny just because of the types of players they are. Anthony Davis, LeBron, Westbrook, Harden. Those are just guys the media just goes after.
Yeah, you're right, actually. Yep. And even this Houston series, before it was even over, Houston was getting killed.
Yeah.
And, I mean, for all their lapses, they were just the better team, and they proved it in that Game 7. Lou Dort stepped up, of all people. He had, like, 30 in that Game 7. Didn't expect that coming. They were just.
I think he's like Dort one of shoot like.
He'll shoot 2 for 16, and then he'll hit like 5 threes the next game.
It was absurd. Like, he's one of like a few players to be like, age 21 and under to put up 30 in like an eliminate. Yeah. No, not even an eliminate. A game seven, like.
Covington, Eric Gordon absurd. Probably had the best games for Houston, and as much as Harden struggled, he made the game-winning play. That was a great block on Lou Dort.
Chris Paul had a
if
great game.
If that goes
game.
In, they lose.
Chris Paul had a great game, and I love Chris Paul, but at the end of the game, at the end of the game, when he missed that like kind of fadeaway jumper or whatever it was, I was like, oh, it's happening again. Like, I feel like I've seen this before, where Chris Paul just something like he doesn't make the wrong basketball play, but nothing just goes in his favor, or it just feels like something's just off in like a crucial playoff moment.
You're right.
And I love Chris Paul. Like, I would love to put him in my top 10 NBA players right now, because I think he's like, he's a really good basketball player. But
does he make a second team for you?
No.
Probably not. Yeah, same. He definitely makes third team. I would have put him second team if they win the series, unfortunately. But like, I mean, I have to put Mitchell over him. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he lost in the first round. I have to put Doncic over him. He lost in the first round.
Also, Gallinari, I really thought he could have pivoted the series and just been like a great, like,
20 I don't know to how 20. I feel. I don't know how I feel about how he played in this series. What do you think?
I mean, he played good throughout the first few games, but once Westbrook came back, it wasn't the same dynamic. I don't know what it was. I feel like it was the matchup, but it just wasn't there.
Yeah, I feel like he kind of gave you everything you'd expect from Gallinari. As much as I like him as a player, he's not going to like win you multiple games in a playoff series against a really good defense. Interesting stat, Houston has the best like defensive rating or efficiency, whatever, in the playoffs. Houston, yeah. The Houston Rockets have the best defensive efficiency, or PER, whatever it is, in the playoffs. They're number one defense in the playoffs right now.
I think teams are just, like, playing to beat the matchup, and they're not playing what they're good at. They're playing like, oh, man, they've got five small guys on the floor. And I think that hurts you when you don't go to your strength and you go to their weaknesses.
I'll tell you what, someone who really bummed me out in this series was Steven Adams.
Yeah, but I somewhat expected this. Like, I thought Steven Adams was great in the regular season, but
he just seemed so passive.
Yeah.
Like, if I'm Steven Adams and I'm looking at Covington on me, or even Tucker, I'm, like, drooling just because I can do a hook shot over him every time.
I think he should have played more in the game 6 and 7 where Westbrook was in.
It's just they kill him on defense. They kill him.
Well, I know they kill him, but when I was watching those games, I just feel like they looked better when Steven Adams was on the floor. And I'm not sure why, but I think they did.
Yeah, no, that's fair, definitely. Let's just get into this really quickly. Houston actually won game one of the Lakers series. And to be honest with you, if I'm a Lakers fan, I'm not panicking because LeBron loses game ones all the time. It literally just happened in the Portland series and everyone freaked out and I said whatever. But, and I think this is similar. Like, the Lakers got a lot of time off. Houston was still fresh. You know what I mean? They're still playing. By the way, Russell Westbrook taunting those poor mothers with children in the stands. I mean, that's the most Westbrook thing I've ever seen. Did you see that?
I know, but yeah. By the way, I want to say LeBron James has lost 5 of his last 6 game ones. So there, I don't see any worry in this one.
How did you feel about how LeBron and Davis played in this game?
I don't look too much into game ones anymore when I see LeBron James. Because he said it's a feel-out game. And I feel like when he says something, he wants to speak it into, like, existence. And I think he literally has taken that to a whole new level of feel-out game, where he literally is just like, I have to feel out this game. Specifically, just feel out.
Yeah. I actually thought he played well until the fourth quarter. I really did. I thought he was playing really well until the fourth quarter. Westbrook and Harden were probably... I mean, Harden was great in this game. He looked unguardable. He had like 25 in the first half or something like that. He's on pace to get 50. Eric Gordon played well. This team just, they played really great defense. The Rockets just outplayed them. I wouldn't read too much into it because it's a 7-game series, and with LeBron, you never know. But this will definitely be a fun series. I think this series will be more competitive than Portland and more fun.
I think it's going to go to 6.
I still see the Lakers Portland playing. Series died so quick.
Yeah.
That series got over fast.
I think after game 3, it was just over.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's fair.
I don't see too much to talk about this game because I just, for the Lakers, I feel like I have to see them.
Like, yeah, for sure. I'm with you.
For me, I feel like the best team starts actually winning, like, games 5, 6, and 7. That's where you can actually tell who the best team was in a series.
Yeah, I agree. Game 5 is a big indicator. In all our series that were close, Denver won game 5, they won the series. Houston won game 5, they won the series. Clippers won game 5, they won the series. And then all the East series were over by game 5 and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
For all the close series, the best team won game 5.
Yeah.
And I think we'll see that same rule apply in this next game 5 with Celtics-Raptors.
Who do you have winning?
I said before the playoffs the Celtics are going to win. I still have the Celtics winning. I think whoever wins this gets to the finals. Now it's really blurred, but I still think whoever wins the series can get to the finals. So Celtics go up 2-0, right? And in game 1, they looked great. Kemba had 18-10. It was, I want to say it was his first playoff double-double, I think, at least. And they just they looked just better. I mean, there were plays where Tatum was complaining and not getting back on defense, but he still played well. Kemba was balling. Actually, no, my bad. In game two, Kemba had 18 and 10. Sorry. Or was it game one? I'm actually, hold up. Give me a second. That's what I'm talking about. Yeah, Kemba was great in this series. I think he still has been pretty good. The Robert Williams minutes have been huge, especially in game one and game two, when the Celtics looked really good. Tatum was doing really well. I thought Jaylen Brown was playing really well. Honestly, I mean, you talk about taking a guy out of a series. Jaylen is destroying Siakam. Siakam can't get anything. And I don't know why Siakam will do that post move every time. And Jaylen is just waiting for it every time and just stops him dead in his tracks. Jaylen Brown is locking him down, Siakam.
Yeah, Siakam had a nice bounce back game. All right, so I think the Celtics are still going to win the series, though.
I do, too. I still feel confident about it. Yeah, game one, Kemba had 18 and 10. I mean, Brown was inefficient. Tatum only had 21, but it's still pretty efficient. The big one was Marcus Smart. What did he hit? 5 back-to-back-to-back threes?
Yeah.
And when you have a guy like Smart who can just win you a game like that, it's huge. And honestly, we saw that in game two as well. Marcus Smart played just as well. And when you have a guy, this was big for the Raptors last year. When you have a guy like Van Vliet who can literally win you a game just like that, he'll decide to make 4 threes and play really great defense and be all over the court. That's what defines championship winning teams. Every team in the last decade and a half, maybe ever, has had that guy where it's like he can win you a game.
I agree. And
Robert Horry was that for all those Lakers teams and all the championship teams that he was on. I mean, every team has had it. The Warriors, their guy probably was, I'd say, Iguodala. You have, I mean, the Cavs. The Cavs had a bunch. But to be honest with you, I'm going to go Tristan Thompson in that 2016 run. Tristan Thompson would just win them games where he looked unstoppable on the glass. Every team has guys like this. Toronto's was their Van Vliet. And I think every team in the championship, you know, race has that guy.
I agree with that.
Smart was great in game two as well. He had 19 points.
My thing is,
Tatum was the big winner, though.
The Raptors just don't have that score. And yes. I think that Anunoby 3 was great. It was fluky.
Oh, we'll get to that.
Series could be over by now if...
You know what? The series should be over. Because in game two, Tatum put up 34-8-6. Kemba and Jaylen didn't even score like that, and they were both pretty inefficient, under 40% from the field, and they still won. Because why? Not only is Tatum the best player in the series, but because, and look, I love Kyle Lowry, but if he is your best guy, it's tough. It just is. You know, I love Kyle Lowry, but to win a championship or to get to a finals, it's tough when your best player, one of his best stat line, I feel like Kyle Lowry's best stat line is like 16-8-8 with like 5 charges drawn or something like that. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, he played great in the game three. 31, right. I want to say 31-6-8.
Yeah, that was probably,
and he made a pass.
Probably a better game.
That pass was so underrated that he made to Anunoby. I'm not sure how many players would actually find that pass and
have the
balls to throw it.
Oh, okay. And Kemba had 29 in that game. He was great. Jaylen was pretty well. Jaylen played well too. And then Tatum actually struggled. Again, Tatum ended with 15 points, 9 boards, 6 assists, but he shot 27% from the field. I thought he was really inefficient. And we're gonna get to that last point in a second, but we can say Kemba's their second best player now, right? Come on.
I'm not sure.
I get the defense that Jaylen Brown has put on Siakam.
No, it's not even about the defense. I think there are times where Kemba just takes a shot and you're like, huh?
He's been way more efficient. Ah, it's tough. I still go Kemba.
Has he been more efficient? What is he averaging on the series right now?
All right, I'll pull up his stats right now. And what's really just frustrating if I was a Celtics fan about this series is that, I mean, it should be over. This series should not be still going on. They should have won that game three, even when Tatum struggled. All right. In the first round, Kemba shot 49% from the field. Jalen shot 45%. And then in this next round series, Kemba is shooting. Hold up. Give me a second. I'm sorry.
No, he's killing Kemba right now. 10%.
Technical difficulties, people. And then Kemba is shooting 47% and Jalen's shooting 37%.
Well,
more points, more assists, you know.
I don't know. I just watched these games and I think
oh, come on. I'm still going Kemba. I'm sticking with it. And I think Jalen's amazing, but you know, healthy Kemba is a really great player. And I think he's I actually love how Kemba's been. I think what Boston has shown me so far, I still feel good about my pick of them making it to the finals. Not winning, but making it. Let's just in this game three. Last play. The Celtics had in as their defensive unit. Smart, Jalen Tatum. I can't remember the last guy. Who was their last guy? It was blank and Taco Fall.
Tice,
right?
No,
it wasn't.
No. They did have Taco Fall.
Was it Ojulay?
I can't remember right now, but I do remember they had in Taco
Fall. Either way, it was four amazing defenders in Smart, Brown, Tatum. It was either like Robert Williams or Ojulay, probably Ojulay, and Kemba wasn't in, and Taco Fall. Amazing defensive lineup that they had in. Everything went well. Taco Fall threw his hands over on the inbound pass. He was defending the inbound, and his hands were just so high up, Lowry could barely get the inbound in. Lowry throws this beautiful pass that just goes all the way up and down. And you have to think that if the ball's in the air that long, the Celtics should just steal it. But no, you know what happens? Tatum takes OG. OG runs the baseline from the corner to the opposite corner of Lowry. So Lowry has to throw the ball cross court to get it to Ananobi. Tatum doesn't even open his mouth. He just kind of points to the corner, but he's actually behind Jaylen Brown. So Jaylen Brown can't even see his point. And I can't hear. So I imagine he said something, but it must have been very light. And he just lets his man go and switches. And he didn't even get screened. Tatum doesn't even get screened. He just kind of drifts to the right a little bit and just does this half like point or whatever. And then Jaylen Brown sprinting to OG. And even though the ball was in the air that long, because of how hard the pass Lowry had to make, as soon as the ball gets there, OG lets it go. And Brown's fingers are like within inches of the ball. And Ananobi just gets it off and it goes in. Ananobi's been playing actually really well this series. Offensive juggernaut.
Everything had to go perfect for the Raptors to make that game-winning play.
And everything went wrong
because
for the Celtics. And it's
because they have championship experience, they did make it perfect. Like, I'm not sure how many other teams.
Well, yeah, not many teams can execute a play like that down 2-0 in the playoffs. And it's big because the Raptors were down 2-0 last year, obviously, with Kawhi to the Bucks, and they came back and won the next four. Not saying that's going to happen in this series, but it's going to be a series, man. And I said Boston in 7, and I'm sticking with that pick.
I still think Boston in 6. I think Boston turns around their act and they finish it off.
Yeah, I think they come out guns blazing in these next games. It's been a great series. I loved it. I'm a fan. And I always say this every podcast, but props to Toronto for really defending the title this year, because not a lot of teams do that.
Agreed.
But they're defending the title well, and they're a hard out. I still think they're the second best team in the East. Maybe third, who knows what. But something very interesting has happened on the other side of the bracket. I think it's probably the biggest story in the NBA right now. Is the Heat, the Miami Heat. I don't even know what to say. They're up 3-0 against the best regular season in the league. Go, do your thing.
This has been crazy because the Miami Heat have been one of the least clutch teams in the NBA, and everything about the series has been clutch for them. And everything for Jimmy Butler this playoffs has been clutch for him. And I did not think Jimmy Butler had anything close to this in him. I'd seen maybe one, two games in his whole career in the playoffs where he's had anything close to any of these games in the stretch that he's had. And
he's destroying them. He is destroying them.
I thought the Bucks had another level to switch, like another switch, and they hit their ceiling in the regular season. They don't have another level.
Mm-hmm.
My biggest takeaway is that Giannis is not that guy, and I don't think he will ever be that guy. And crazy as it sounds, I was watching the game, and the Bucks needed a three at the end, and Giannis was on the floor. And my first thought was, why is he on the floor? And that sounds crazy, but if that's my thought, you cannot be a superstar. And Giannis Antetokounmpo is not a superstar.
He said it. You know, that's fair about your crunch time thing. Speaking of crunch time, we're done saying Duncan Robinson is their third best player, right? That's over, right? We're done.
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
Good. Thank you. Goran Dragic is definitely their third best player. That's for sure. And it's interesting how Miami does their crunch time lineup. When you look at this roster, I mean, on paper, to be honest with you, you can make the argument they're better than Milwaukee. You really could.
I mean, in hindsight, you could say that, but I mean, going into the series.
No, I just mean on paper.
Giannis was by far the best player.
No, yeah, I just mean like on paper. Also, side note, Chris Middleton is averaging more points than Giannis and is more efficient from the field and from three and obviously from free throw. Giannis, what's going on?
I told you, Middleton's a shooter. He's going to turn his game around.
Giannis,
This was your guy. This was your guy that you said would be the face of the league. I told you he cannot be the face of the league.
I didn't say he'd be the face of the league. I said he could be like the – he could be – a top 2-3 player of the next decade.
No, you were talking all time, one of the best players of all time.
He could be. I didn't say he will be.
No, it's not because he can't get a jump shot. He never will. It's going to get worse potentially.
The fact that Giannis is shooting 45% in this series is mind-boggling. It's just mind-boggling. And also, the fact that he's playing 35 minutes a game is even worse. And I said this in the last series. Why does Coach Bud, like, here's an idea. Maybe play your best player 40 minutes a game. I don't know. Does that sound like brain science? They play 11 guys. They play 10 guys. Why?
No, it sounds crazy, but then you watch the games, and then Giannis comes off the floor. You watch the games, and Giannis comes off the floor. And you're like, oh my God, why did he take him out? And then you're watching the game and you're like, you know what? They're not so bad without Giannis.
No, you need Giannis in there.
Like they were holding their ground without Giannis, and Giannis would enter the game and then the Heat would just go on a run. And you know what? Let me check the plus minus actually. I want to see what that's at.
What's also crazy about this series is that you can make the argument Lopez, Middleton, George Hill, even Bledsoe, to an extent, aren't playing bad. It's just Giannis. And that's exactly what I thought the opposite coming into this series. I figured Milwaukee's a little shaky, but Giannis will be Giannis and they'll win. But no, he's getting outplayed by Jimmy Butler. Bam has been amazing this series. Bam's doing exactly what you want to do. And shout out to Miami. Really, they're doing... They're going to be a great suitor for Giannis next year in the playoffs. I mean, next year in the free agency. How would you feel about Giannis if he went to Miami next summer? Would you see that as a weak move? Because I would.
Yes.
Because you're going to the team that beat you. And it's because you're playing bad.
Reminiscent of what KD did.
And
then if Giannis were to win the finals MVP next year, with the Miami team that made potentially the Eastern Conference Finals or the Finals, and we'd say, man, Giannis just won Finals MVP. He's the best player in the world. That's exactly what everyone said about Kevin Durant, and they just forget it all, and they're going to forget it all once Giannis does this. I'm telling you, like, you really have to remember what happened prior to their moves, and prior to the team they were with. And you know what? Giannis is not better than Luka. I said this before because offense matters a lot more than defense. And I'd rather have an A-plus offense player and a C-minus defender than an A and an A guy, because offense matters that much more. From going from an A to an A-plus player makes that big difference in the playoffs. And that's why Luka Doncic is better than Giannis.
Who's going to rank higher on your NBA teams?
Luka Doncic, unless Giannis pulls out a 3-0 comeback.
Even after Giannis's amazing regular season?
It's the regular season. I'll treat it like one round. And
no, you treat it like two rounds. Don't do that.
Or two rounds. Like
two rounds.
No, I'm not putting. I might put him over him, but I think who's the better player?
Yep.
I put him over him, but who's the better player? Luka Doncic.
Who's the better player? With the better year.
Okay.
If Giannis
better player.
If you plug in Giannis on that Mavericks team and he stays healthy the whole time, which he did. All those shooters, they're higher than a 7 seed, I'll tell you that much. You know it's true. You know it.
You love to get
Denver first round.
You love to substitute guys. I don't do that. I look at in a vacuum what really happened. And what happened was Luka Doncic exceeded expectations by a large margin. And Giannis'
expectations were already way higher, coming into the season at least.
But if you can't live up to those expectations, then I don't know.
I get he's struggling in the playoffs, but to be fair, he did just win MVP and Defensive Player of the Year. He's going to win MVP. And I know it's regular season, but that has to matter somewhat. Giannis is top 6 in the NBA right now.
He doesn't have a jump shot.
And he's still top 6, right?
Borderline.
I think he's top 6.
Look,
we're
talking next year. Next year, this is who I'm going to have over Giannis. I'm going to have LeBron, Kawhi, Steph Curry, Kevin Durant. I'm going to have Luka Doncic, and I might have James Harden. Depending on what happens here. And you know what? Jason Tatum might break through.
You didn't even mention Davis either.
Davis could go off.
If the Lakers win the title and Davis looks phenomenal and like kills the Clippers because they have no one to guard him, Davis will probably go higher too, honestly.
Look, Giannis is falling down the rankings really hard.
From
the best player in the world 3 months ago. People were saying that. I never would have said that. But people were saying
that. I never said that either. You know, and I never said that.
I know. And now he is plummeting to potentially – he's already out of the top 5 in my opinion, because winning is so much for me. And I don't think he has what it takes to win in a close playoff game. Because if you're so good at one thing that one thing is so predictable, like you're so good at the rim. But Shaq was that much better at the rim that even when his opponents knew it, he would still dominate. Giannis isn't that good at the rim. Like, Steph Curry is such a good three-point shooter that even in the playoffs, he's still making threes.
Giannis is pretty good at the rim.
No, he's pretty good, but he's not legendary at the rim.
I think he might be.
If he is, then what is he doing right now?
I think he's the best rim finisher in the league.
You're a two-time – by the way, you know what? We've really underrated the whole, like, an MVP – and winning finals in the same year. Like, that's actually a really underrated achievement. And I didn't expect Giannis to do it. But I just want to say, there's only been two players to do that in the past 15 years. Win MVP and finals in the same season.
I wonder what two they are.
That's Steph and LeBron. So don't ever put Giannis in that category again. Because Giannis had two chances and he didn't do it.
Well, there you go. There you have it.
The narrative is over for Giannis, so I don't know where he goes from here. He has a big free agency decision to make, and it could be really cowardly.
Wait, I was going
to
say,
how would you feel about Giannis going to the Heat?
I would just shake my head. It would just bum me out. I'd be like, all right, dude, cool. Also, I'm a Nets fan, and we're actually like good now, so that also really make me mad. But just taking out like Nets bias as like a casual NBA fan, I'd be like, really? And if it was like Jimmy, Bam, and Giannis, I'd be like, all right, this is what we're doing now. Just bum me out. You've three of the top, what, 18 players in the league? Top 17? I mean, wait, Bam's going to make a third team, right? At least.
Yeah.
So you have three of the, you have three players. You have three of the top 15 players in the league. When was the last time that happened? Golden State.
The All-NBA teams this year? We're going to get, last year when we got to 15, we were like, who do we really put here? This year, 15, it's like, man, like, I've got everyone to choose from.
It's so like, stacked.
Donovan Mitchell could be 15.
Could be what?
In our All-NBA rankings.
Could be third team?
Yeah, like, that's how stacked it is.
I think he's second. Barely.
I just haven't thought about it yet, but, like, yeah. The top 10 is so stacked.
Depends how this plays out. You know what
I
mean?
Do you see them winning the series? Do you see Milwaukee winning the series? Milwaukee.
You know what? This is going to sound crazy. I actually think they could still win.
You know what? I think I thought that too. But
like, I don't know. I don't think this series is over. As crazy as that sounds, and maybe I'm wrong. Maybe they get swept or lose in five, which I probably am. But I'm not. I don't think this is like every other up 3-0. I just don't.
You know what? I think
Giannis is competitive enough to be like, we're not losing. Like, we have to win this. Not that he's going to do that for the next four games, but I don't think the series is over. As crazy as that sounds.
Look, Kevin Durant's move, like, he went to the Warriors. Yeah.
That's weaker than what Giannis
it wasn't. I guess, but here's the thing about Giannis. He has to go to another team because I don't think he has room for improvement in this game. Like, that's what I'm thinking. Like,
is Giannis on this team? Is Giannis on this team in the summer of 2021? Or next free agency, whenever they're going to do it, because the schedule's all weird now.
I don't know.
I would go no.
Giannis is a weird guy. I don't know.
I know. He's so low maintenance and happy all the time that you think he's happy in Milwaukee. And it seems like he is. And honestly, his teammates are playing well. It's just him.
It really is just him. Like,
Middleton's actually showing up, which, I mean, I blasted him last series, but Middleton's been great. And
Brooke Lopez is showing up.
Like, here's an example of, like, because I don't know if Mitchell will make second team. If Milwaukee somehow comes back in the series and Middleton looks great, I'll probably put Middleton over Mitchell. He's averaging 23-5-7. He's their best player right now.
I was wrong about Giannis. He does have room for improvement, and it's his playmaking. The problem is that the way he's built...
Yeah, he's still out of raw talent.
I think he can only be so good of a playmaker and a shooter because of his physical capabilities and his coordination. I just don't think he's built to be one of those two things. So I think he has to be so dominant at the rim. And I just don't think he's that. I think you put guys like Shaq, like, I mean, like, what is Giannis's, I don't know, because what is Giannis really doing, like, late game?
He'll get to the rack as a decoy and kick it out.
I don't even know if he does that kick out. I don't know how many times I've seen like a nice kick out from Giannis.
No, he doesn't. You're right. I'm just saying in a vacuum he could do that. This series has been crazy. Dragic has shown up these playoffs. Talk about a guy who was an all-star like, what, 3-4 years ago. He's shooting 45% from three. He's shooting 47-48 from the field pretty much. 21-5-4. He's been great. Bam is
getting
the
most underrated player in the playoffs.
Thank you. And what did I say? Who would I say was their best player?
Dragic.
Goran Dragic.
I'm watching all the Heat games, and Every time Dragic shoots, it feels like it goes in. It just feels like it goes in. And it does, I feel like. I don't know.
Hold up. I just saw something crazy. How old do you think Jimmy Butler is?
29.
He's 30.
That's about right.
He seems old to me. I don't know. Really? He was 28.
Didn't he stay in college for like 3 years?
I think he might have, yeah.
And he also, he had that like earlier stint with the Bulls when in the early 2000s.
Yeah. When they were pushing That's the right. Cap. He was on that team with Rose. I mean, Bam has been perfect this series. Like exactly what you'd want from him.
Bam has been completely negating Giannis. Like not just like holding him back a little bit, like negating Giannis.
Who would you rank higher, Bam or Mitchell, in an NBA team? That's so tough.
That is tough. That's very tough.
They're both competing for that second team spot. I have to see how this plays out. If Miami advances and Bam looks great in the next round, I got to go Bam. But if Miami loses, which they probably won't, or if they advance and Bam is, like, horrible, then...
But wait, I just checked the box score right now. What game is this? This is game... 3, I want to say. Giannis shot 0 for 7 from 3.
Yeah. Another thing is, why is Giannis jacking so many threes?
Well, because they don't respect him. And I'm telling you, when I told you Giannis is not capable of getting a jump shot, he's not capable.
Giannis is attempting more 3-pointers than George Hill and Kyle Korver. I'm sorry, what? Huh? That stat doesn't even look right.
I know. Wait, can I just point out one other thing? So, like, I'm not a big athleticism guy or coordination guy. I don't really believe in a player, like, moves like this. Like, oh, like, man, like, look how De'Aaron Fox moves. He's really, like, a top echelon player. Like, I'm not like that, but...
Had to throw a little Giannis, De'Aaron Fox jab in there.
But Giannis... I was just thinking of like a guy from high school who people are like, man, look how he dribbles and moves and stuff. But Giannis is not coordinated.
He's
like,
not.
He's not coordinated.
I mean, he is, but not like superstar level coordination. Like, you know what I mean?
I know. And when I think about it, who's the last star that is in last superstar that wasn't coordinated?
Jesus. Give me a second.
Like I know it sounds stupid, but I think that is like a big part in this, because he has so little room for improvement. Because
could we say Shaq
is not there? Shaq was coordinated.
I know. I'm just thinking.
So coordinated.
I'm just thinking. Jesus. Malone.
Like, it's like. Like, who's more coordinated, Giannis or Shaq? They're kind of stiff. I mean, not Shaq, Cat.
Carl Anthony Towns?
Yeah, like, the
Towns
like,
is more coordinated, honestly.
I feel like
Towns
Giannis is
skilled.
Giannis is stiff, and I just... You know, I don't have a problem with him being stiff because he's still good, but at the same time, like, I think his stiffness is the reason he's not going to be able to improve in certain parts of his game.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know if it's the way he's lifting where he doesn't lift
and Miami's
fast
just better.
Twitch fibers, but
and
I don't know.
What's crazy about this Miami Heat team is that Goran Dragic was actually their leading scorer in the Pacers series. He missed a lot of game 4, so that probably switches if he plays. And you have to think, I said this earlier when we were doing our playoff predictions, that Miami and pretty much every team in the East that it feels like has so many dudes to throw at Giannis. I think all the guys Miami has, Crowder, Bam, Iguodala, Olynyk. They just have a lot of guys to throw on Giannis and they can defend. Nah, not really Olynyk. Derek Jones has some time on him. It's great for a team when you have a lot of guys to just tire someone out. And unless your name's Luka Doncic, it'll really hinder you. Like even LeBron can struggle a little bit. When teams are just throwing everything they have at it. Like when the Warriors would throw Durant, Iguodala, Draymond on him. Stuff like that. He'd still be amazing, but you could tell it would obviously affect, it didn't really affect his game. But just, you know, unless you're like LeBron, I guess, when you're a player like, I don't know, James Harden, and a team has a lot of guys to throw at you, it can really affect you. And that's what's happening to Giannis in the East, where, I mean, even if they advance, Boston and Toronto has dudes to throw at him. And that's just the model.
You know what? I think part of it is that the Bucks do not have, like, a go-to late-game guy. And I think for Giannis to get that, he has to leave or they have to make a trade.
Yeah.
And I don't mind him, like, changing teams to cater his needs. But at the same time, like, that hurts. Like, that does hurt your legacy to an extent, you know?
Yeah, for sure. How did you feel about Game 2, the officiating at the end?
What aspect of it?
The flagrant foul on Korver.
Oh.
Iguodala jumped into his foot on the three.
You know what?
And then that crazy ending with the two back-to-back fouls where Middleton got fouled and then Butler got fouled. You know what I'm talking about? Butler got fouled in the free throw.
I didn't like it.
Yeah. Right?
I didn't like it. But at the same time,
a playoff game.
After they made the first call on Middleton, I felt like, okay, like, you know what? I can't complain with the Jimmy Butler call because you called the one before.
And to be fair, the right team won that game. Like, the Heat deserved to win that game. So, that's always good. Because Middleton never should have got to the line and got those free throws. And props to him for making all three. But just it's playoffs. Why are we calling that?
Oh, my God. You know what I mean? I'm looking at that game, too. Giannis was a -7. Middleton was a +18.
I'm looking at it right now, too, yeah. Brook Lopez, +12. They've been playing better than him. Straight up.
I think Giannis is so confused because I'm looking at the box score. He only shot 1-3 in game 2, and he shot 7 in game 3. Like, does Giannis even know who he is anymore?
He doesn't. No, he never knew what he was. He was all just raw talent dominating, and that's why I was so high on him, because he was all talent. I still feel like he doesn't have a clue of what he's doing compared to like the greats. And if he could put that together, he'd be terrifying. Just how talented he is. And the hard work and everything. But Miami's just winning. Like straight up. In that game 3, I'm watching it. And I'm thinking the Bucks are gonna win. By the way, through round 1 I had a perfect bracket. Just wanna put that out there.
You did.
Steven went, what'd you go, 5-for-3 on your picks?
5-3, yeah.
It's not bad. Not 8-0, but it's all right. You know? Anyways, like I was saying, but I look at these games, especially game 3, and the Bucks are up the whole time. They look in control. Middleton's playing well. Giannis is doing fine. Lopez is doing his job. And I'm like, okay, finally, they put this together. They're going to win. And the fourth quarter happens. And for some reason, Milwaukee just decided to lose. It was the most uncharacteristic thing I've ever seen. And not only does this series prove how different the playoffs are to the regular season, why we shouldn't overreact when a team wins 60 games, but also just because they hit that number, but also because the Bucks scored 13 points, I want to say, in that quarter. Butler outscored them completely in the fourth quarter. And when that happens, how are you supposed to win the game? They just rolled over. It was so weird. Miami won the game by 15 points. You'd think they were in control the whole game. No, actually. Milwaukee was in control. And the fourth quarter hit, and they decided to lose. Like, it just makes no sense. You know what the fourth quarter scoring was? Hold up.
In 40 in the first to 13, quarters, right?
40 to 13. In the first quarter, Milwaukee scored 30, Miami scored 29. Second quarter, Milwaukee scored 27. Miami scored 21. Third quarter, Milwaukee scored 30. Miami scored 25. They're up by 12 going into the fourth, and they get outscored by 27 points. How does that happen?
Also, I just want to point out, so Giannis is averaging 28, 15, and 6 in the playoffs, 54% shooting from the field. People are going to look back at box scores in 3 years from now and be like, Giannis was not so bad. Like, this is why you have to watch the games.
Yep. Straight up. Preach. Because Giannis is going to get his stats. You know, that's just what his game is. But, excuse me. Sorry about that. But if, when you, everyone was picking Milwaukee to win the finals. To go to the finals, at least. And if you're a superstar in this league, me and you ranked him third in the league right now. We would have dropped him to fifth with Curry and Durant anyway, but he's third right now. And when you have a guy like that, you know, we expect you. We don't really. And with superstars, it gets weird because I try not to look at the box score as much and just see how they play and handle themselves in games, because it's the little things truly that puts people over the top, especially in this league, in a league where pretty much everyone can get their stats, especially the superstars, whether it's in crunch time or garbage time. It really depends on how you handle your situations, and Giannis has done the worst job out of that, out of anyone we put in, like, the top, what, 10?
Okay, I have a question for you. Where does Giannis rank for you right now? In the bubble.
In the bubble? Excuse me. Fifth? Sixth, maybe?
Yeah. I know.
I had him third. It bums me out. I think he still could make a first team. Just because his regular season was so great. And, well, I guess the Magic, but he dominated them. Middleton was the one who sucked in that series. And Brook Lopez wasn't the best either. They're second and third best players. So I have to give him credit for that. And just... But, like, do I rank Jimmy Butler higher than him?
I wouldn't go to that extent.
Right? I wouldn't either. Even though he beat the series, it's kind of contradicting. It's, like, a little bit of a contradiction. It's tough. I still think that Giannis can make a first team, though. I still think he could. But he'd be, like, the fifth guy on it. And it's crazy, because last year, we ranked him third. Am I wrong?
I think so, yeah.
Steph, Y, whatever order you had them in, and then third was Durant. I mean, third was Giannis. Durant got bumped because he was hurt. Jokic wasn't better than him. Harden wasn't better. Giannis was third that year.
Yeah. One and underrated storyline.
And then he had that amazing regular season, and I thought I was so high on him for that reason, but...
One underrated storyline. Jimmy Butler has become one of the best foul-drawing players in the NBA.
Oh, yeah. Which you were weary of going into the playoffs, but...
I didn't think he was actually a... I thought it was one of those things that came with the regular season, kind of like a Harden thing to a bigger extent. Turns out he's better than Harden in the playoffs at drawing fouls.
Yep. And just little things like that is such a... It's such a veteran thing to do, and that's why the Heat are winning. I mean, I get Bam is, what, 22 years old, I want to say? I get Bam is really young, but that dude plays like a veteran. Butler and Dragic are huge veterans. Crowder, veteran. I mean, Harrow's a rookie, but all really great teams normally have one young guy. Duncan Robinson is, he's whatever. You know what I mean? Like, he's fine. Iguodala's the big one. This team's just got vets. This team is a great number one player. This team is a really great number two player. And props to Miami Heat.
My thing was just, I didn't think Jimmy Butler was that number one guy. And you know what he is. He is.
Yeah, he is.
And so I hadn't explored the idea of a Boston-Miami matchup. So I have to look into that, how that matchup favors for Boston. Because Boston had been so matchup dependent on these first two series. And
yeah.
I just don't know how that's going to turn out when they play Miami. Bill Simmons said it's not a good matchup. I still want to look more into it though. I'm not sure. I feel like there could be something there for Boston still.
If you're Boston, who would you rather play? Milwaukee or Miami right now?
Milwaukee.
I play Milwaukee too. That's crazy. That's actually crazy that we're saying that. Shout out to Miami.
Giannis gets swept.
Uh oh. Nah, come on. You don't think that's gonna happen. Milwaukee will get a lot of calls in this next game.
Has a superstar ever been swept by an underdog like this? You know, the last thing I can think of was... The last disappointment I can think of close to this was Dirk losing to the 8th seed in his MVP season.
Dude, that was so bad.
And you know what? Giannis could have a dirt career. He could definitely have a dirt career. But it's when it's all career. Said and done.
Hmm? I said it's not a bad career. It's just not.
No, it's not. It's not. And if Giannis gets that ring.
But I mean, where would you put Dirk? Top 25 range, about?
Right? Yeah.
Around that area.
Yeah, I would put him borderline top 20. But the difference between Dirk with a ring and without a ring is about 30
like
spots.
Like 10 spots. Yeah, it's so much. It changes everything we thought about him that year.
Exactly. So Giannis really does need a ring. And you know what? He might have to go to another team for it. And you know what? As soon as he gets the ring, doesn't matter who it's with, if he joins the Warriors and he gets a ring, he'll automatically be put in that discussion like Kevin Durant was. But when it comes down to it, I'm going to remember what happened. And,
oh,
you know, that's a big reason why people think Kevin Durant is this player that I don't think he is.
Durant's higher than Dirk, though.
Well, we wouldn't have said that if he didn't go to Golden State.
I still think we would have. And you put him there.
That's what people might say about Giannis. They're going to be like, oh, you know, I still think Giannis could have won within the 2 years he was with Milwaukee. But, you know, it didn't feel like it in the moment, like right now, as it didn't with Kevin Durant. It didn't feel like that with Kevin Durant either. It felt like he would never get over that hump. I don't know. It just it does remind me a lot of Kevin Durant. And I know there's a lot of other factors that are different in the whole situation and all. But when it comes down to it, like...
No, it's very reminiscent of it.
Like, your legacy, you couldn't get over that hump. And
the only difference, is that Durant was up 3-1. Milwaukee's just getting killed.
I think this is worse.
Oh, it is worse.
Yeah, I'd rather lose 7.
I think the move going to Golden State by Durant is weaker than if Giannis went to Miami. Because Golden State just went to back-to-back finals. Miami did not do that. So I think that part is weaker. But I think, like, if Giannis gets swept by Miami and then goes there, and look, we're like reading into the future. Who knows what Giannis is gonna do? It's very hard to predict. And time proves over and over again that we have no idea what these guys think or what they like, because everyone's their own person. And I wouldn't know what to expect with this. Giannis, just stop airballing free throws, please, for me.
Yeah. Giannis needs to work on his free throw shooting There's a lot.
Free throw, like every game.
There's a lot of room for improvement that can't actually be improved.
You know what? I guess when I look at Jimmy Butler's age, why he's 30, I guess the reason why it shocked me is because that dude just doesn't have a lot of moments. Like, this is his biggest moment of his career.
That's been my whole thing. Like, how many big playoff games has he had prior to this? Like, one or two. That's why I didn't have him high.
I will say, though, last year in that Philly series, I thought it flew under the radar how well he played. I thought he was the best player on Philly.
If it flew under the radar, then there wasn't anything there.
I think there was. I think he was better than Embiid. I know he was better than Simmons and Harris.
Like, I think if he really played good, like, nothing ever flows under the radar with NBA fans.
A lot of stuff flies under the radar with NBA fans. Me and you both know that.
Well, yeah.
I think he's good. It's just, you're right, though. He is low on moments. Like, even Paul George, who everyone's so frustrated with, has had more moments than him. Paul George's moment in 2013 was bigger than anything Butler's had in his career, unless Miami makes the finals, which could very well happen.
You know, but this win for Butler against, I know it's the second round, but you beating a one seed with a reigning MVP, two-time MVP,
it's
that means
huge.
Something.
No,
and
it's
you're
huge.
Not just beating him. You might sweep him, you know?
And I feel like he gets it. Miami's in a tough spot now, because if they beat Milwaukee, everyone's going to expect them to win the next round. I just don't think it's that simple.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I'm still picking Boston or Toronto to win. Whoever. I still think Boston. But just if Toronto wins and they play Miami, I'm picking Toronto. Straight up.
I would pick Boston too. You know what? I really like Boston because I don't think people realize like how versatile Daniel Tice is.
Tice is great.
Like, he might be one of the most versatile centers in the league. Like,
For sure.
Yeah. But, man, poor Giannis. Right? I'm almost feeling bad because, like...
It's tough. Series isn't over yet, though.
if this was something I had said beforehand, but it isn't, so I kind of feel bad that he just hasn't had a single positive comment about him in the past few days.
He's so good.
Like, what's the one positive thing you could say about Giannis right now?
His box scores. That's really it.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's rough because Miami is just – they're just – going into the series, I thought Milwaukee could win. And I thought that their supporting cast were I thought – I actually think now I think Spo's a better coach than Bud. But, I mean, I just thought it was one of those series like Giannis will dominate and he'll leave his imprint on the series all over. And I think we both thought that because he's Giannis.
Well, it turns out being Giannis, turns out being Giannis is not as special as it seems.
That's all I got for this series. Anything else you want to add?
I mean, I would just add that we should never mention Giannis in the same breath as Steph Curry again. Please don't ever. Please.
Who's doing that?
You know what? If the bubble didn't happen and we went into next year, people would have said Giannis is a better player than Steph Curry.
You're probably right, honestly. I mean, people were saying Damian Lillard was better, so luckily that's over.
This is the biggest recency bias I've ever seen. I can't wait till Steph comes back next year and he just rips apart everyone. Could you imagine if Steph was playing in the bubble? He'd probably make 13 threes a game.
He'd love the bubble. He'd be great in the bubble. But also, I feel like the crowd kind of favors him because he's been in so many, like, big, crazy atmospheres that he's, like, comfortable with it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I actually think for guys like LeBron and Steph, the bubble wouldn't favor them just because being in a crowd environment would, because it wouldn't favor other guys.
Wait, what's today's date? Today's the... Okay, so 5 days ago would have been the 30th, which was... Yeah. What was that?
What do you like? What day?
Oh, that was before game one. This is what I tweeted.
All right, let's hear it.
Individual defense is the most fan overrated aspect of NBA basketball. Give me Luka and Steph over Giannis all day.
Good tweet. I still, though, would rank Luka lower than Giannis on my All-NBA teams. I just would.
I just wish Luka hadn't played the Clippers.
I know. It sucks. But, I mean, that was the big reason why I dropped him on my list. Just because the fact that they were the 7th seed. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because it just bummed me out because his injury, and it wasn't even a big injury, but it was so big because of the West and how tightly contested it was. You have to think, if they're the 6th seed, they're playing right now.
That's right.
I think they beat Denver or Utah.
You know what? I'm not disappointed, because I think we've seen such great things from Denver, Utah.
Yeah, Luka won out. The fans won with what we got. Luka was amazing. I mean, the only thing that sucks is the Porzingis thing. That sucks. This series goes to 7 if Porzingis doesn't get injured. And I don't know who wins it.
I know. I'm just looking through the entire playoff bracket, and I think every single round, I mean series, had a storyline. Like
even
a great storyline.
Even the Orlando one.
Yeah. I mean, actually, what would be the storyline for
Nets.
That one?
Raptors Nets.
Through the West, you look through the West, and
the West was amazing. The West was just phenomenal. I got something I want to throw at you. I think that one of the most underrated moments of the season, and me personally, I kind of underrated this too, was the Marcus Morris trade.
Okay, why do you say that?
I just feel like there are games, and you saw it in that game one where the Clippers, if there was any second round series that I was the least excited for, it's this Nuggets it's this Nuggets Clippers series, just because I feel like the Clippers are so much better. And I don't want to knock Denver because I think they're really good, but you saw it in that game one where the Clippers were just so much better than them, and Marcus Morris is weirdly really important for that team. And I'm trying to remember the trade. Mo Harkless was in it, and I want to say a pick or something.
Yeah, I think a first rounder.
I'm gonna pull it up right now. Mo Harkless, a 2020 first round pick, and a protected 2021 first round swap option, so a swap basically, for. And they sent. Hold up, this is a really complicated trade. But basically, the Clippers gave up Harkless and some picks. Another team was involved in the trade, and obviously the Knicks, and Morris went to the Clippers. And I just think that trade was so big for them. He plays crunch time for them. He's their third leading scorer. He's shooting 60% from three, 50% from the field in this series.
It is big for them.
I don't know. It kind of slipped under the radar. I mean, let's look at that game one. Marcus Morris had what? I mean, he scored a point less than Paul George and shot 70% from the field and shot 80 from three in that game.
You're right, actually. I just don't know who they'd be rolling out now.
Who's been defending Doncic for part of the series or part of that series? Marcus Morris. He's big for them. I think you can make the argument he's their third best player right now because Trez is coming back. He's been out for a while. He's shaky. Lou Williams can't play crunch time. I feel like it's Morris, honestly. The third most important player for that team. And
third? Oh, no.
Who then?
Patrick Beverley's more important.
Oh, what? Beverley missed the whole first round.
Yeah, and they went to six. I don't know if that series goes to six.
Marcus Morris plays, though. I'd say that's more important.
No.
You gotta be available.
No.
You gotta play.
Give me Beverly over Morris.
No, come on. Don't do that.
And what did Beverly come back? He did, right? Yeah.
Yes, and he played really well in that game one, actually.
Yeah, he did. Of course. Because Beverly is the most low key player.
Oh no, he is not low key. If anything, he's overrated.
I don't know. People underrate his impact. But once he gets back into rotation, he'll be great. Like, defensively.
He was on a minutes restriction. He had a calf strain. But he looked good. And it'll be interesting to see, not only in this round, but in the next round, with him going toe-to-toe with Murray or him going toe-to-toe with whoever on the Lakers or Rockets. That'd be funny to see Russell Westbrook versus Patrick Beverley again. That'd be really fun, actually. Obviously, Lakers-Clippers would be the dream matchup, but
the playoffs have been crazy. I know, to everyone, we're sorry for recording late. It's just been so busy right now. We're sorry. We're going to try to go back to two times a week, but we're not sure. It all depends, you know what I mean? The playoffs have been exceptional, and how do you feel about your predictions just right now? You still think Boston Lakers?
Yeah.
You still feel confident about what's the Eastern Conference and Western Conference final matchups or no? Because I don't.
Except Milwaukee.
Miami. Yeah, Miami. This is really out of nowhere. I mean, not out of nowhere, but no one expected the Bucks to just be down 3-0.
I know. I mean, it's pretty absurd. I honestly, every game is just like, all right, Milwaukee will take this one back, you know? And they just haven't.
The game three was so frustrating.
That game three was just, it wasn't so frustrating as just like, wow, you know?
Yeah. I guess for a Bucks fan, it'd be so frustrating because they just blew it. They were in control of the whole thing and they just ruined it. That's all for me. No promises, but we should be back in a few days with our next podcast. We're sorry. The playoffs have been just so crazy. There's so much to talk about.
so many legacies are now being redefined and shaped with these playoffs. And it's now is better than ever to be an NBA fan. The bubble's going well. Second round is in full swing. We're about to get to the third round soon with some of these series. And I love the NBA. It's great being a fan.
Sure is.
That's all.
I just want to say that if you're not watching the NBA right now and you're listening to the podcast, what are you doing? Like, what else is there to be doing? So turn on your TV, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. That's all.
Actually, 3:30 on Sunday. The schedule will change. But yeah, only two games a day, easy to watch, much more manageable than four like in the first round. That means it's a great place right now. I love it. I love everything they're doing with the social justice rights efforts. The Rockets Thunder Game 7 actually got the most views of a game in like the last like 3 years.
Really?
Yeah. It got the most views in like a while, at least for a first round matchup. I don't know if it's like that compared to the finals, but that Game 7 got a lot of views.
I've been seeing reports that ratings have been going down.
Exactly, which is why it's such big news. I mean, that's definitely going to change when football's back in like a week, but...
Yeah.
We'll have to see. That's all for me, though.
Thank
you, everyone, for watching. Thank you for supporting us. We're sorry the uploads haven't been as consistent. Hopefully, we'll be back in 3 or 4 days. We will do our best, I promise. That's all we can say. And that's all for me. Thank you, everyone, for listening. Bye.
Peace.